Are you a deviant? You know, like those of us who binge-watch serial killer programmes, laugh at the stupid shit people do, and revel in anything adult? Well, you found your people. Join us as we crack open the door to the padded cell and release the insanely stupid, the weirdly wonderful, and those who choose to live outside societal norms. We'll delve into the strange, the macabre, the sexy, and the outrageous. So if you're a deviant, then you have your place with us in the padded cell. Hello, gang, and welcome to episode 32, which is a continuation of 31 because we're doing it on the same day. Different subject. I know it's all smoke and mirrors. You know, we're recording every week, but this week we're recording to it.
Yep.
So today is in the US. Today is the 25th of April when this goes out.
So that means we're going on our hen
party
tomorrow.
So exciting. Where
he's going?
It's a secret.
Yeah, we can't say anything about it because
we'll
the
tell
hen
you next
knows
week.
Nothing. Yeah?
I'll tell you when we finish recording.
Yeah. But you've put loads of time and effort into this and can't wait.
Oh my God. I don't know what I'm going to do after it.
I got me outfit, you know. I can't say what it is. The one that's got to start with your first initial. It's arrived.
Yeah.
I might do like a little special unpacking video.
Yeah. I'm just so excited.
So I'm not going to say what my costume is, but it begins with V.
But she doesn't know that either, so...
Okay. Shit.
Turn off.
Okay.
Mrs. Viking.
Well, no, because okay, maybe the day after, won't it?
I mean, I doubt she'll be listening on the day. No. I'll just tell her she can't.
You just tell her she can't, yeah. Anyway, so in the US, it's Hug a Plumber Day. Not fuck a plumber, Nance.
Why is there a day for everything, though?
Don't go find a random plumber to hump, for God's sake.
Try not to.
I know a plumber.
It's like a bad porno.
I know a plumber called Peter. Peter the plumber, I think he actually watches us. And I'm going to tell everybody, Pete, what you did years ago, mate.
What did you do?
We were on holiday in Cyprus and at about 2 o'clock in the morning, Cyprus time, I got a message through on the phone and I went, it's from Peter the plumber. He's called Peter the plumber. And I went, it was a dick pic. And I was
Peter.
Like, Jimmy's lying next to me, mate since they were at school, and he sends me a dick pic. So I went back and I went, was this supposed to be for me? Because it's not in the relationship we have, you know. And he went, oh God. And the first thing he thought of was Jim. Jim's going to fucking kill me. I've just sent a dick pic to his bird. So it wasn't meant for this Vicky. It was meant for another Vicky.
And it was at that moment he realised he fucked up.
Big time. And so now, I mean, it's got to be 15 years since he did it.
And
every time I see him, we'll put like a little dig in there. Or as he's walking out the door, one of us will go, no dick pics now, peace. And he's like, fuck off. And he's totally, totally embarrassed about it, even to this day. I don't think I've ever hugged Peter, actually. We don't really have that. He's not a hugger, I don't think. But I might just have to jump on him next time, just hug him and then tell him why. Hug a plumber day.
Hug a plumber.
Yeah, there you go. Hug, not fuck.
I get them mixed up sometimes.
Yes, you do. Right, so something else I need to tell you about. You've heard of Cameo, haven't you?
Yeah.
Cameo.com. For those out there that don't know what Cameo is, it's a platform where you can pay a little amount of money or a big amount of money if it's a famous person, and you can ask them to do a little video for you. Some people have these videos as like birthday messages, happy anniversary, or, you know, I just want to cheer my mate up. Other people will have a specific message that they might want to download, like a ringtone or a notification. So if you want me going, fucking hell, Dylan.
Fuck off, Dylan.
Then you can head over to cameo.com and I have an account on there and you can ask me to record something for you. Nothing dirty, no sexual favours, and no, I won't send a fanny shot. All clean, nice, wholesome stuff. I mean, I'll swear. Not a problem at all, I'll swear. But, you know, no, like, swinging sex stuff. It's not allowed anyway.
And Cameo, I mean, I know a place that is allowed and I do that on OnlyFans. I will do sex stuff.
So if you want lots of sweary words and nice birthday messages and all that, then cameo.com. If you want sex stuff and filth.
I'm your girl.
OnlyFans Nancy. So cameo.com and you'll find me. I am Vicky_thepaddedcellpod. Our messages are a tenner. That's a nice little birthday present.
Yeah.
I know there's couples out there who both watch. And you know, imagine me going, right, lad, believe it's your birthday, mate. Have a great one. Love from Vic. Dead cheesy like that. Okay. It won't be like that. It was so bad. But you know what I mean?
That's it. Now they've cut it. You've just fucked yourself.
I know.
Happy birthday, lad.
I know. But you know what I mean? It'll be more than that.
Yeah.
It can be anything you want. You can make it. And we can discuss what it is that you want until we get it right, and then we'll record it and away you go. And if you want to have a little bit of that,
that
lazy
see cracking a whip.
That'd be good. I could do that. I can do whip cracking. Anything like that. I can lazy see a fi. So cameo.com. Right, so today is a Lady C kink type episode, and I haven't got my normal garb on because I just want to get it out there that you don't need special garb to be a mistress, a dominant, a submissive or anything. All dark clothing is normally acceptable at kink events. But even mistresses like us, we don't always dress in like mistressy attire, do we? Sometimes a t-shirt, jeans and docks does it just fine. It's how you hold yourself. It's not necessarily what you wear.
I mean, you get some. Like, there's a particular mistress who comes to a lot of the femdom stuff, and she's always in like very flowery dress, or she's very feminine, isn't she? How she
absolutely
presents.
But actually, the way she puts herself across is very dominant.
It's a persona, yeah.
It's a persona. Now, I know that some people like to wear kink stuff or whatever because it helps them into that role.
Yeah,
it's
helps part bring it out.
Get into the mindset and everything. But it's not necessary.
No.
And when you've been doing it a little while, you don't need to put certain clothes on.
Yeah.
So that's why I've put this t-shirt on. But let me just move the mic. Hang on. So basically, it's a dude on chains, very muscly dude. This is from Cyberdog.
And it lights up. Cyberdog.
It's, it lights up under UV. So there you go. So you can literally wear something like that, and it's perfectly acceptable. If you can get into the mindset and the t-shirt and jeans, that's sound. So we're going to talk a little bit about some of the questions that people have asked me over the past 6 months. 6 months, Nance. 6 months we've been doing this.
Crazy.
6 months. And I've answered them individually, but I thought there would be questions that other people might want to know the answers to, so I'm sharing them.
Yeah.
Okay. So how do I enter the BDSM scene? I know I'm kinky. I just don't know where to start. Where do they start then?
I would start at a munch.
Yeah. Do you know what a munch is, Dylan?
I don't know what a munch is.
Okay. So a munch is a BDSM social, and the munch word goes right back to the 90s, over 30 years ago. In America, where people that were into the BDSM scene were just meeting, like, you know, burger bars and stuff, just like-minded people who look like they're just having a burger, but actually they're talking kinky shit over their burger and milkshake. And so they called it a munch. Yeah. That's where it comes from. And we have a munch in our venue. We actually have a play munch. There's two different types of munches. One is purely social, and they happen to be normally in bars, pubs, that kind of thing. And then you have play munches, where normally there's a social aspect to it in one area. And then if you want to, you can go off and you can play as well.
Yeah.
That's what we have in our venue. We're a play venue. Why not? But a munch is a good place to start for people that know that they're kinky, they just don't know how to access the kink community, and, or, you know, where do they even go with all of this? So a munch is normally led by experienced people in the community who want to create a safe space where people can talk about BDSM, discover our mad, wacky world, talk about themselves, their kinks, what they like, what they don't like, what they don't even know about themselves. And the main thing is to make connections with other people in the community, because that's the first thing you need to do, really, to get into the community, is find other people, because there's nothing worse than walking into a proper play event and you don't know anybody.
Yeah.
I've been there, I've done that. It is actually quite scary. A munch is sort of like a middle ground. It's sort of like an in-between.
Yeah, it's not intimidating, is it?
It's not intimidating. You can just wear what you want. You haven't even got to give your real name. You just turn up. I mean, to our place, it's different because we're a play munch. But if you go to a pub munch, you just turn up, have a few drinks, and you can call yourself Nancy, whatever.
Quite often they have like games and stuff.
Games,
they, and
munches.
You can just...
Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
So it's not all about...
No, it's about making connections and socialise and finding mutual friends, really, isn't it? And so they do that by having games, nights and stuff, you know, to just break down some barriers.
Like icebreaking.
And so the munch is your first place. And then, you know, locally by you, there'll be a munch somewhere. They're everywhere. There's a few in Liverpool and around the northwest area, there's loads. But wherever you are in the world, there will be a munch. And if you don't know how to find that, you go on to fetlife.com. FETLIFE.com. And you can put a search in the local groups there, and it'll tell you where your local munchers are. Often on there, there's like country groups as well. So we have a United Kingdom group or a British Connection group, which I actually run. It's my group. And all of the events go in there as well as the munchers. So you can find everything you need on FetLife. And you can start chatting on FetLife as well. Once you've made the connections with people at the munch, you can then connect with them on FetLife and, you know, have an online relationship in that way as well. So that's where I would start anyway. But then what does a typical BDSM event look like? And it depends on the venue, to be honest with you. All venues are different. But most of the places that I've been to, they're not what you'd expect. No. I think people expect it to be, you know, red and black, dark, lots of...
typical.
Yeah, lots of goths, you know. it's just this image you have in your head, isn't it? Of like, you know, sort of dark music and all that kind of thing. And somebody in a corner against a cross being like whipped and... Rah! That's what you expect, isn't it? You know, this is in your imagination. In reality, it's not like that. In reality, most venues are pubs or they're a venue that has a bar most of the time, not always. And there's a very social vibe.
Yeah.
And what you find is it's just normal people who've got normal jobs, sometimes quite high-profile jobs, who have just come together in this common ground to celebrate and enjoy kink. And the event is not like full-on kink from the minute go, normally. It depends on the event. So we're just talking about mainstream BDSM events here. We're not talking about sexy crossover events or hardcore, just your mainstream events that you might go to as a newish kinkster. And you'll often find there's workshops, there might be demos. You sometimes find people talking, doing Q&As. We're actually doing one tonight in work, aren't we? And there's opportunities to learn and you're encouraged to watch scenes. Normally, you'll tell the rules of the venue when you walk in as well. If you're not sure, read the website beforehand. There's often rules. Watch scenes. You can ask questions after the scene. It's all just about stepping into this world at your own pace. It's never forced. The venues make it as comfortable and easy as possible and as social as possible. And you dip into whatever you want to dip into. There's never any expectation of you. You're never forced to do anything don't want to do. If you want to walk in and half an hour later you go, yep, not for me, you can walk out again. Yeah. No one's going to lock it in. Not the Hotel California. So a typical BDSM event is just like a normal night out where people are having a few drinks, some music on, but there just happens to be kink going on, which you can watch. And then when you're more experienced, if you want to undertake kink activities, you can. And for those who don't know what they're doing, a lot of venues might hold, like say, workshops. We hold something called School of Kink, which is a proper syllabus, actually. We create the syllabus of beginners and advanced classes, and we go over all of the basics in the beginners, so basic techniques and consent. And then the advanced is drilling down on some of those things and bringing in some more complex aspects of BDSM. So we run the School of Kink, and we are actually going to be taking it online. Because since we've been talking about it, people all around the world who are like, I'd really love to take part in this. So myself and Artemis, our colleague who runs the FET events at the club, we're getting our heads together and we're going to be creating the School of Kink online with real people doing real things, with people who are very, very experienced teaching you. So when that comes about, I'll let you know and give you the details. It's one way of learning. If you don't want to do that, you don't want to go online, you're not very savvy online, or you just want rather have one-to-one, find your local kink venue if you haven't already and look into if they have any workshops and stuff. I'm sure they do. The thing with our community, it's very givey, isn't it? We like to share the knowledge.
Yeah.
Me especially, I've been around a long time and I've learned a lot and I'm not going to be around forever. And I want the morals and ethics of the scene to be carried forward. And good practice to be carried forward. And so my initial idea of doing School of Kink was to make sure that we're passing on the knowledge and passing it on properly. Yeah. And so that future generations can do the same. I'm hoping the School of Kink will continue when I've retired or died from a rock and roll lifestyle. I'd be dead first, mate.
I know.
Honest to God. The hours that I work. I'm a typical person for a stroke, I think. But yeah, passing on the knowledge. It's important because otherwise it gets a bit out of hand and dangerous, and we've got to be safe doing what we're doing, haven't we? So somebody else has asked, where do I buy me kit? Now, we've talked about you don't have to spend loads of money on your kit. And again, me and Artemis are going to do like a little spin-off thing for Patreons looking at our real kit and how you can buy like or make your own DIY kit. We're going to do that. But if you want to buy proper kit, which everybody wants loads of kit when they first start, don't they? They're like, they just want all the best vloggers and everything. It's not a race. And actually, you only need a handful of things. The main thing is your hands. But if you want to buy stuff, you know, a good crop, good flogger, good paddle, some leather gloves, maybe. That's all you need. But where do you go? Now, I wouldn't necessarily buy online unless you know the seller. Because it's hard to see the quality of things online.
I like to feel things.
Well, with floggers and things, they're an extension of your arm. I'm not going to go into that too much. We talk about that in School of Kink, actually. Your implement's an extension of your arm and it needs to feel comfortable in your hand. The weight's got to be right. It's got to fit nicely in your hand. You're going to be using it for a long time.
Yeah.
Using, you know, a lot of strength. So it's got to feel natural in your hand. I know that sounds completely mad to those who are like, there's nothing natural about what you do. But from our point of view, it has got to feel natural in your hand.
Yeah.
So really you need to go along to kink markets. It's the only option really. And go and feel these things firsthand. We have a kink market in our venue. The Townhouse Kink Market. There's also the BBB in London. In Birmingham. There's also LAM, the London Alternative Market in London. But wherever you are in the world, there will be kink markets around. There's crafters all over the world. And these crafters do sell online, but I really do strongly advise that you feel and see and smell this stuff before you buy it.
So it might look great,
but
in reality, when you're using it, shite.
Exactly. Now, what we do sometimes get is experienced kinksters recommending kit.
Yeah.
So if I actually haven't physically been to a kink market where a particular seller is selling their wares, somebody else might come along there and say, oh, I've got this from blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, wow, okay, that's made nice. That feels nice. But I still need to feel the flogger that I'm going to buy. Yeah. So I've seen the quality of the stuff. I know that it's all right, but I still want to feel it, really. And I smell everything. I can't help it. To throw back from the ACs. Everybody was glue sniffing in the 80s. Yeah. I wasn't, where I sniffed everything. Terrible.
I just love the smell of leather. And like,
I love the smell of leather.
Oh. We got the folded suede dragon tail from Whips and Sticks. Yeah. But the smell of it is just beautiful.
Yeah. I love leather.
Yeah.
So a little shout out actually to Whips and Sticks.
Yeah.
It's a Foo Bar, the other one.
Yeah, Foo Bar trousers.
Foo Bar. So Fubar, F-U-B-A-R.
Yeah.
And Whips and Sticks. So you'll find them online. You'll find them on Instagram. You'll find them on FetLife. They're the two at the moment that I'm really loving for floggers and, and hissy things. There's also BDSM Wood on Instagram.
Yeah. He's made a few things for us.
Yeah. He makes amazing battens and paddles from gorgeous wood.
Yeah.
And they're all custom. So we have some examples, but if you want like a certain paddle in a certain wood engraved or whatever, he'll do all that for you. So that's Foo Bar, Whips and Sticks, and BDSM Wood.
Yeah, he made me a dead nice pair of nipple clamps.
Oh, did he?
That are wood, but they're magnet. I don't know if you've seen them, but like they're really interesting. It's like a fiddle toy.
Oh, right.
You know, and you just need something to distract you because like magnets and stuff. But they're so, they look lovely, but they're so aggressive.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Love them. Yeah.
So they look tame, but they're not.
Yeah.
So that's my advice for your kit. Anyway, and if you're in the UK, there's a few names there. They do send internationally. But like I said before, you're best going and having a feel of the stuff. And I know all three of these do markets.
Yeah.
So you can go along to markets. All three actually do our market, but I know they go elsewhere as well. So you can go along, feel the quality and then go from there. So somebody else, I don't think I'm strict and serious enough to be a dom, but I know I'm a dominant. I loved this because it's such a damaging stereotype, actually, that you have to be strict and serious.
It's a really common misconception, isn't it?
Yeah. Now, we have an event, I've talked about it loads, called Whimper, and it's a femdom event, which basically is female dominance only. Submissives can be any gender. And what I stress all the time is I do not accept uber dominance, especially at Whimper, but any events. And uber dominant is basically somebody who thinks they have to be strict, serious and cunty to gain respect. Actually, it's quite the contrary. Yeah. But because they're inexperienced or they've been watching too much BDSM porn, they think that the, you know, they've got to be a bitch in heels, basically. And that is not the case. You don't have to be strict and serious. You've seen me play.
Yeah.
I can be serious, but I'm not necessarily strict. I can act into that role if I need to, if I'm asked to. But I prefer to have more fun, actually, nowadays with my kink. And I remember that the people that I'm working with are human and they've got a sense of humour and they like that I am funny with it. So to this person who said, I'm not strict and serious enough, you don't need to be strict and serious. And actually, when you get more experience, you might be able to act into it if the need arises, but don't ever think that you need to be like that. Yeah. You don't. You can gain respect in lots of ways, and that doesn't mean shouting at people and degrading and humiliating people, unless that's their kink. You can just be a normal person who just holds themselves in a dominant way, who talks to people in a dominant way. I actually do a class at the Advanced School of Kink, and I'm doing a Domina School of Kink as well, a Dame School of Kink, and it's called The Art of Presence. Mm-hmm. And it's all about actually being a dominant without all these bells and whistles and wording. Have you just burped?
No, it was my chest growling. Wow. Sorry,
that was
Dylan.
A loud
I seen him jump like a little marker.
Please, keep that in. So the art of presence is all about actually being a dominant without all of this, all the, you know, the things that you're wearing and the heels and the shouting and all that. It's about being able to enter a room and everybody turns around and you immediately command respect. Mm-hmm. Not in a fake way or in like a weird way, but in like, oh, here's blah, blah.
Yeah.
And it's not like, you know, bowing down, but it's like, oh, this scene's going to be good. Or, oh, I really want to go and speak to that person. Yeah. It's just having a presence. And I teach that. And it can be taught. And it's like a fake it till you make it kind of thing, really. And so people are going to go and be professional. Sometimes you're not always confident or you're having a bad day, but you fake it.
Yeah.
So I teach people how to fake it, basically.
Sometimes we're very good at doing that.
Oh, we fake it. Do you know what? But it's me, you and Artemis and, you know, I don't work in the club very much anymore. But I was on the desk a lot at one point. You are Artemis's. And all three of us very recently admitted that intermittently, if it going gets tough, we go and sit in the ladies' toilet for 5 minutes and decompress. We just leave the club to it. We just say to the bar, so I've just washed the desk for 5 minutes.
Just need a minute.
I'm just going for a piss. And actually what we're doing is that they're rocking on the toilet like that.
It's when you come out and there's a queue and you're like, sorry, I wasn't shitting.
Yeah, sorry about that.
I wasn't shitting, I was just having a minute. Because there's nowhere to hide.
Yeah, you just need to just get away from the hubbub for a little bit sometimes, don't you?
There's only so much host face.
Yeah.
You can.
And just social interaction sometimes. Yeah. When you're doing it all the time, it's just exhausting, isn't it? Just to keep an eye on the time. Right, so somebody said, I'm 19. Am I too young to enter the BDSM world? Now, I've brought this up because some of the stories that I've told, I'm very aware that some of these people aren't here anymore.
Yeah.
And I don't want people to think that everybody on the scene's older like me or older. There's actually a massive young contingency actually on both the swinging and fet scene. The fet scene's always been a young vibe. In fact, I'm not going to say which university. A local university used to have a BDSM munch.
Yeah.
There was that many kinksters who were students. They had their own munch. so actually, on the BDSM side, I'd say it's very young. But there are still people like me around. We were called the old brigade. And it's actually said in such a nice, respectful way, just makes me feel like an antique. So you are not too young at 19. As long as you feel that you are sensible enough and you've got the maturity to observe things that are very unusual and definitely outside the norm, and you're going to watch these things with respect and integrity, and you know, you're not going to ridicule people, and you're ready for it, absolutely 100%. And actually, I am so envious that at 19, you feel ready to enter this world and you're asking this question? Because at 19, I wasn't. Mm-hmm. I wasn't an immature 19, but it was a different life. Like your life back in the day was a different world altogether. And I wouldn't have even thought about having the confidence to go to a BDO event. So someone that I've 19 who's asking this question now, the fact that you're asking the question is really positive. And no, you're not too young. You're actually going to find lots of other young people there and you have loads in common. So please don't put it off. And similarly, you know, there might be people out there who are in the late 60s.
I think they're too old.
Who are possibly in the new relationship or out of a relationship that was stifling and they want to now go and explore the BDSM side. You're not too old either. Like I've just said, there's a massive young contingency, but there's still lots of us old dears who enjoy events and some people of my age and older are just starting out. They haven't done it before. Yeah. How exciting at that stage in life to discover BDSM. Fucking brilliant. Okay, so I have got one more. I'm aware of our time. I'm just going to very quickly do this because it's important. So how to spot the good and bad on the scene. So predators, like every scene out there, you're always going to get people who are going to take advantage of people because they're vulnerable. And I mean vulnerable in a way, they're so desperate to meet other kinksters and experience everything. They sometimes agree to stuff that they wouldn't normally agree to with people online. So two words of advice that I want to give you if you're brand new and you don't know the wheat from the chaff, basically. I would say don't meet anybody online until you're really experienced and actually you know these online people for real. From events. Mm-hmm. I would say go to a munch, go to events and meet real people because they've gone there with the same intention of you. You can see the whites of their eyes. Yeah. Listen to your spidey senses. If somebody doesn't feel quite right, don't go there. But, and also if you're going to play at an event, by play, I mean, you know, whips, chains, floggins, all that kind of thing. If you're going to play at a BDSM event and you're new, play publicly in a room. And I know it's fucking terrifying. You want to go private so people aren't watching you, especially if you're the top. You don't want people to judge you. People are not going to judge you. People are not going to think, God, that was a near miss there. Ooh. You know, they don't know what they're doing. They're not going to do that. People are very supportive. Play publicly for your own safety. You don't want to do all your consent things, safe words and everything else. There's nobody there to hear it. And then that person that you've just beaten says you're a consent violator because there's nobody there to say, I actually heard them. Yeah. Okay. If you're going to meet people online, try and only meet people that you've met at events. If you are going to meet somebody online, very, very, very common for models to meet photographers online, fetish photographers. Take a chaperone with you. And if the photographer says, I don't like chaperones, do not agree to that appointment.
That's a huge red
Any
flag.
Any photographer who's worth anything will agree to a chaperone. So don't go along to it if they don't agree to it. And I personally wouldn't play in people's houses if you don't know them already. No. You're just putting yourself in danger. And not because it's BDSM, anybody can be a weirdo.
Yeah.
You know, but people can prey on vulnerable people in the BDSM community because they're so desperate for these experiences. So, okay. So that's our little whistle stop of BDSM today. I'm very aware of the time, but I just want to get in a couple of dangly bits that we missed last time. So, Dylan.
Hang on. Let me get my thing.
Oh, yes.
We're going to do it. Oh, yes.
I've got so many pieces of paper. Hang on. Here we go. So I'm going to read out a story that was penned by Chris Bramwell on the BBC around 4 or 5 years ago. Now, this story was quite widely distributed through the UK, did hit some international media, but it was a little while ago and it's a fucking funny story. And so I want to tell it again. Okay. So, speaking from beyond the grave. Okay. Shay Bradley, who's 62. We've got a picture of Shay. If you can just flash it up for us, a lovely picture. He just looks like a really nice fella, doesn't he? He just looks like a really good fella. Shay Bradley, 62, had a dying wish that had his family and friends laughing at his funeral in Dublin. In a video that has received more than 136,000 upvotes on Reddit, the former Irish Defence Forces veteran pretends to be trapped inside his coffin and is heard knocking frantically, trying to get out. Coming from a speaker on the ground, his voice boomed out from his grave.
Hello! 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 Let me out!
Then there is some swearing which sends the mourners into fits of laughter. He goes on to sing Hello Again, Hello. Who's that by? Come to me in a minute. Hello again, hello. I just called to say hello. No?
Nope.
Okay. It's an old song. I'll let you off. Shay, who had suffered a long illness, organised the stunt around a year before over lunch and recorded the message on a phone with the help of his son, Jonathan. Shay was banging on a coffee table beside him for the full effect, as he was banging on the coffin, obviously. Jonathan told the BBC that his dad was a larger-than-life character who always wanted to make people laugh. He said he wanted something special and for everyone to remember him as he was, so that everyone, especially my mother, did not leave the graveside sombre. Posted on Twitter with the hashtag Shay's Last Laugh, his daughter Andrea said, "What a man. To make us all laugh when we were so incredibly sad. He was some man for one man. Love you forever, Papa Bear." There's a few little more bits and bobs in there, but I have actually got a recording of the video, which Dylan is going to play now. Turn it right up for us if we can. I can't hear it. Oh, here we go.
Hello? Hello? Let me out! Hello? Hello? Let me out! It's dark in here!
It's dark in here!
Is that the priest I can hear?
Is that the priest I can hear?
Let me out! Hello? Hello?
Isn't that brilliant? Help me. So funny.
Hello. I'm in the box.
I'm in the box. Brilliant. So we'll just leave it there. You get the idea. But apparently only a few family members knew about this. The rest of them didn't know. Can you imagine standing around the grave and that you don't know that this is happening? I'd be like that. Oh my God, get him out. He's alive. Even though he's been embalmed, he's got no blood. His organs have been removed and everything put back in again. But what a great guy. You know, he obviously was well-loved, a funny guy. I mean, you know, most Irish people that I know are fucking hoots. And, Dylan. And Jimmy's family are all Irish and they're all nuts, you know. What a way to go, to send everybody away from the graveside with a smile. What a man. To have that foresight a year before he died, banging. Hello, hello.
That is funny.
I thought that was hilarious. So I didn't do my middle bit from last time, your dangly bit, and I'm going to do it now because I've got time. So why not? And I want to do it because it's in line with the fetish stuff that I've just done. And I did tell you about this and I just need to share it with the masses because it's hilarious. So two dangly bits. There you go. How lucky are you? So, scat. Scat. You.
It's all right. That was good timing.
I've actually been watching scat. The time today, Dylan.
Proud of you.
I know, yeah. So it took me 32 episodes. Scat. Which is basically a fetish for poo. It's not poo. My thing. I've never been into that kind of thing. But, you know, your kink's not my kink, but your kink is okay. And I can be quite creative if people ask me advice. I can still be creative even though it's not my kink. Anyway, Kat on Instagram sent me a message recently asking for my advice. And I get this a lot. I am like the BDSM guru. I don't mind. You send me your questions. It's totally sound. And if it's a good one, I'll share it. I'm going to get loads now, aren't I? But I do get lots of people asking me these questions. And this was a funny one. She said, okay. I need advice. Fellow Dom A here. I had a potential sub approach me with an interesting request that I had never gotten before. He wants to eat my poop.
Oh my God.
I should have got a trigger warning, really. Now, I don't kink shame and I'm open to it, but how do I go about doing this in a way that is professional, getting the results he is looking for and without throwing up? So I said, hey, does he want you to shit in front of him or on him? This is quite tough to do, lol. If he doesn't want it freshly produced, you could offer it to him as a meal with an other real food or a shit sandwich. Is this going to be part of a bigger scene or does he simply just want to eat your shit? So she said, I can shit into a toilet and then scoop it up and feed it to him.
Sake.
But she said, I can't shit on demand. And what if it's an IBS day and I have raging diarrhea? He literally just wants to eat my shit.
Soup.
So I said, I'd lay down some rules. Say that if he wants the pleasure of your home-cooked meal, then it will be prepared as you wish and he'll receive it graciously. If it's a volatile day in the bum department, bring some microwave mash and your poop can be gravy.
Stop it.
If it... Alternatively, if it's a solid poop day, sausage and mash.
Why would you ruin my favourite meal?
I said, you're in charge, so you can work this any way you wish and dole it out to him as you see fit. So he said, OK, now I think I'll step in shit and make him lick it off my stiletto. So, yeah, there you go. So if it's a runny shit day, guys and girls, and somebody wants you to do this, just take some microwave mash along and your poop can be gravy. On that bombshell. I've got my positive poo. Did you know it's got my positive poo? If you haven't seen me positive poo before, it says, I may be a tiny poo, but I believe in you. Go do your shit. Quite literally over
whether
some gravy, over some mash. Yeah.
Oh, no.
So thanks, Kat. That gave me a really, really good laugh. And I want to know if you actually did this, what the result was, and if he was happy. Was this mash and gravy or was it sausage and mash? So we've got 2 minutes and it's... I've got time to do a quick fetish factoid. I didn't do that last time either. Do you know what bagpiping is?
No.
Do you know what bagpiping is, Dylan?
I have no idea.
Would you like
Mickey.
To give it a little guess? Bagpiping.
Makes me think it's something to do with wind.
It would, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Burpy nowadays. Do you want to have a little guess, Dylan?
Yeah, that was my first thing. Blowing into something.
Blowing up somebody's arse, maybe?
Probably, yeah.
No. Bagpiping or axillism is a fetish for using the armpit for penis stimulation until ejaculation. So basically, armpits, and so he's going to fuck your armpit until you come. But apparently, you can't just offer the armpit. You've got to bag it like a bagpipe, like that.
I can't get on board with that.
I've just seen myself doing that.
And sometimes you're just really not in the mood, right. And you can't be arsed. Like just stick it in the
just
armpit.
Just stick it in my armpit.
I can do that.
Do the chicken.
Yeah. You see, I'm going back
I do
to
do two at a time.
Well, I'm going back to swinging. You're like skiing.
Yeah.
Now it's back double bagpiping. Yeah. So there you go, bagpiping. You are so so welcome.
I'm going to ask Sid if he wants to play the bagpipes.
I'm going to say to him one day. Do you want to? Bagpipe me and see what he says. Because he doesn't watch this.
No, does he fuck? He fucks us off.
I'll either terrify him and just go, no. Or he'll go, what is it? Yeah, maybe. Probably not.
He does like the bagpipes.
Does he?
We both do.
Oh, that's a bit screechy for me. Really. Anyway, did you have bagpipes at your wedding?
At my funeral. I don't know, probably.
It's going to have been some of our funerals.
At the wedding, yeah.
That's what you're doing. Yeah. Nice little wedding. Anyway, right, we're going to go because we've had the fart button and we've lost the goat. Dylan, you were going to do a goat noise.
Gah! No, that's more bird.
Yeah, it's ca-ca! Sort of screaming goat.
Ca-ca!
I'm going to do it. I'm not going to do it.
If I did it, you have to do it.
Mine's better than yours.
Just blew his ears off.
That was amazing.
Mine was better than yours.
That was more of a goat.
It was, wasn't yeah. it? Yeah, I am the voice of the screaming goat thing. Right, we're going to go. So, guys, girls, and everybody in between, if you're binge watching us, we'll see you in 5. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye. And there we have it. Another day made better by listening to the Curators of Chaos. Thanks for dropping by. And if you enjoyed the show, we'd really appreciate you sharing your love for the Pad the Cell podcast with your friends. Don't forget, give us a follow on our socials. Maybe leave us some 5-star reviews. And feel free to send us an email to medic@thepadthecellpodcast. Or even interact with us on Facebook, Insta and our other socials. Because we love chatting to you. Be sure to stop by next week because, as Bowie says, I don't know where I'm going next, but I promise it won't be boring. Catch you soon.